Blog Talk Radio.
I can see you're falling apart. The pieces of who you are, you're not who you used to be. Honey, you just live inside your head. You can break, but you don't bend. You don't have to hide from me.
Radio. This is July the 23rd, 2016. Special guest tonight is Ashley J, and you can go to her website, ashleyj.net, and we're going to learn a lot about Ashley tonight, but I want you to know you heard her first song. This is great music, and I want you to know where you can go to get on what's going on with Ashley J, and it's ashleyj.net. Ashley, welcome to the show.
John, thank you so much for having me. It's a blessing to be here.
Well, it's great to have you on. Thank you for that. What I like to do actually is in my interviews, which I've been doing these since 2008, and the reason behind it is to get to know the musicians and the singer songwriters and the people behind the songs. And for people that are listening, listen to a lot of music, because what's happening now in music, and I'm sure you're fully aware, is there's so much good music out there that people will make choices every day on what to listen to, what not to listen to. And I want them to know about you and about your life. And I think it makes so much, it's just very important for people to get to know, you know, the person behind. I want to do that tonight, if you're okay with that.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm an open book, so whatever you have at me, throw it all. I got it.
Well, let's start off with, and I think it's always a good place to start at the beginning. It's the genesis of it. Talk about your childhood, and talk about growing up and what kind of family you grew up in, and how music became a part of your life.
Well, I have four brothers to start off with. So two parents, four brothers, and three dogs. That's just kind of like the background of my family. And my dad did music as a kid. My mom did not. My mom is, although she's creative and, you know, she does more painting and artist stuff. My dad is now more in the corporate field, but he did music, and I get my music ability from my dad. And growing up as a kid, you know, I remember my mom would buy me NSYNC and Britney Spears CDs, and I would stay in my room for hours, and I would listen to every single song on repeat constantly until I memorized every single word, until I realized that she, you know, she came in my room and she would say, "Ashley, the cover that comes in the CD, if you open it, it has all the words and you can read them." So I was really naive as a kid, so I learned things the hard way, clearly. But I started music, and ever since just listening to it and listening to my dad play some of his favorite musicians and his favorite songs and different bands, it really inspired me to just kind of bring out my creative side, and I wanted to do it too. I started writing music when I was around the age of 8, and you know, I'd write all over the place, at all the bathroom walls, to where my mom had to paint over them, and music has always been in my life and in my field. It's always been something I've wanted to do.
That's pretty funny. You would write the words to your songs on the wall. Now, that's pretty amazing if you think about it, actually, because a lot of kids are listening to music and they're trying to just, you know, get what they can out of it. But you were actually using those different artists to feed your own talents and to see, you know, and started to write at a very early age. Do you remember, like, when you decided, yes, that sounds like something I could do, I could write a song? I mean, that's pretty cool.
Thank you. Yeah, I remember, like, it was yesterday. I wrote my very first song, and it was called "Tell Me Like It Is," and it was more of a country song. And I just remember being in my room, and, you know, I always started from the bottom. I'm really short, so I always started from the ground up, and I just, you know, started writing lyrics and just kind of created a beat in my head and put it down. I put it all in a notebook, and I came out and sang it for my dad. And I said, "What do you think about this?" "That's really, really good." So the years kind of progressed. I ended up going to Nashville and ended up living the Nashville scene for a really long time, almost throughout my entire teenage years or my early adult years that I'm in right now. And, you know, I just kind of took some of my songs when I was a little girl and brought them from different studio to studio and producer to producer and said, "What do you think about this?" And, you know, get promised the moon and the stars. And at the end of the day, it was really all that I could do. I decided this moment was right for me when I was a young girl, and I've never strayed from that path. It's always been in the background, and if I decide to do something different, I've always thought about it, and now I'm decided this is what I really want to do.
Now, when you started writing songs and you said you would take them to your dad, was he, and maybe still is, the go-to person when you would write something to see if it was going to really stick on the wall or not? Because everybody has that person, you know, everybody has that like you can feel, "Oh, this is pretty cool," and then you always, you know, think, "There's this one person that I could take this song to that's going to be totally honest to me." Has that always been your dad?
Definitely. It's been my dad and my mom, both of them. My mom is very honest, very blunt, and she'll tell you the truth from the get-go. So if she'll say, "It doesn't sound right," or "That might," you can say that a better way, or "That's a little more provocative than the look you're going for." My dad is very musically in touch, so he'll say, "Maybe knock it up a key, or maybe bring it down a second, or slow it down, or maybe knock it up." So my dad is on the musical side. He hears more of the background, where my mom hears what's right in front of your face. So I use my mom more towards lyrics, and I use my dad more for the melody piece.
You know, that's pretty cool, because I've talked to these different musicians, Ashley, and they always want to find somebody that's honest, because you're going to find people that are going to agree with you. "Oh, yeah, that's great." But you want somebody that's going to be able to tell you how they feel about it. Have you always been able to take that? I mean, as they say, like, that type of criticism, has that always been easy to take? Because I'm not too good at that, and I know people that aren't. I just wondered, you know, since you started writing at such a young age, how have you been with, like, constructive criticism and people saying, "Well, maybe that's not exactly right"? How's that affected you?
Well, constructive criticism, I think, is difficult for anyone and everyone to take. When you're a young kid, it's easy for someone to tell you no, or easy for someone to say, you know, kind of hurt your feelings. I grew up as a secondary black belt in Taekwondo, and that has given me poise, I think, and definitely more of a maturity to where I can handle the word no and kind of a more of a confidence. But I think if you believe in something hard enough, it doesn't really matter what someone says, because at the end of the day, you just have this feeling it's going to work out. It's all going to be fine. I've been told no a million times. My entire career in Nashville, which lasted over the span of way over 10 years, I was told no a million times, a million and more. And it just takes enough no's to finally hear a yes. And it definitely took me a lot of no's. I've heard a lot of constructive criticism. You know, you don't look right, or you know, you need to lose weight, or you need to gain this, or do this, or change your voice to make it sound like this. Your voice isn't what we're looking for. It's not good enough, or this, that, and the other. And I never let it bother me to the point where I decided I'm going to quit music. It's always just been like, well, you know, I've heard conflicting stories, and no is not the answer I'm looking for. So I'm going to find the yes that I need.
Yeah, that's a really great point, because, you know, a lot of times, actually, I've talked to people in the music industry and people that have been, you know, gone to Nashville like you did. And I'm working with a couple of people doing radio shows that, you know, they go and just trying to watch what, you know, kind of chronicle what they're doing. And it's kind of interesting, because you have this industry, the music industry, which has a certain, it can change, right? This can be the big thing now, and then this can be the big thing, you know, today. And you have to kind of have that feeling of, what do I have to do to keep up with it in the music industry? But then on the other side, I respect the people that stay true to what they do. And I know that there are actually a lot of people out there that are amazing, that haven't gotten that big record deal or gotten that break, but they have what I would call this peace of mind of staying true to what they believe and true to their roots. How do you approach that? Because I think that is so important. And I just want to say, when I'm listening to your music, I feel a real positive vibe, a real uplifting vibe when you sing. And I think that's really great and very needed in this day and age. So thank you for doing that. I just wanted to say that.
Oh, that's very kind of you. Thank you for your kind words. You know, I like to look at the glass is half full, you know, more optimistic. I like to be on a more optimistic scale. I find myself to be very bubbly, and I've told them very bubbly. And I always take the best out of people, in my opinion. And at the end of the day, if I clash with someone or it doesn't work out, I find the best in them, and I know we're both going to be okay, no matter where we go in our lives. So when I come to writing music, especially Daria, the song, I remember sitting in the studio and thinking, I was so sick of hearing all the negativity going on in the news and all the stuff going around us. Of course, it's only escalated since then this year. And I wanted something that just makes me happy. I was sick of listening to, you know, there's nothing wrong with writing about sexual content, but it's really oversaturated, in my opinion, at this current time, and it has been for the past couple of years. But I wanted something that just made you not forget about what's going on around you, but kind of bring back the happy sunshine, and something that just reminded you of to be the person that you know you are. You don't feel like you are, but you know deep down that you are and who you want to be, and kind of remind you that there's a better side, and take a chance. You never know what the outcome could be. So this song, Daria, is more about taking a chance, just going with the flow, going for it, taking everything that you possibly can in, and waiting for the answer on the other side. So I really like writing inspirational music that will not only touch other people, but can relate to them, and that I can relate to them, and they can relate to me as well.
Well, it's a very honorable thing to do, and especially today, because music has such a power to it. I mean, there are, and I'm sure you're aware of this, but, you know, the things that are going on in the world, and my wife and I, we work with a lot of different groups, and we know that we live in Ohio, and it's very sad, actually, the drug problem that we have, and that kids, you know, lives are being ruined, and we see this a lot, and we're trying to work them. I've seen great results with music where, you know, you can get certain people to speak to kids and it doesn't seem to do much. I mean, I have to think back when I was a kid, you know, and when people would come to me and tell me what was right and wrong, whether I would agree with it or not. But I can remember music changing a lot of the way I believed and the way I felt.
Music's an outlet for people. You know, it's, even in this day and age, there's songs I can think of back in the 70s with the Beatles, you know, Give Peace a Chance by John Lennon, or any Michael Jackson song that dealt with any kind of conflict in his life, whether it be black or white, or any song, ideally, by Michael Jackson. Human Nature is a great one, too. They all kind of relate to right now. And it's interesting how much music, doesn't matter what year it's written in, it always comes back and it always stays in date. But the influences, you know, I have spent much time listening to the radio, and as a musician, I've heard a lot of people say, well, I don't even listen to the radio. Well, I do. I listen to all the songs from all genres, and I think when I decided I really wanted to be an artist is when I stopped hearing things that I wanted to hear. There wasn't anything on the radio or any artist that interested me, and that's why I decided I wanted to create my own music and my own message.
Yeah, that's awesome. And what's really cool is that you have the talent to do it. And I think it's such a good thing for people to understand that, you know, to use your talents, because there are people that I know, and it's always an interesting thing, Ashley, because you said you did take the chance and went to Nashville and have worked in the music industry and all those things. But I think it's such a thing for people to understand exactly what they're supposed to be doing. And once you realize that, that's just got to feel good.
Absolutely. You know, it's about being yourself and taking that chance.
So what were some of the artists? You talked to Beers and some people when you were younger, but I did read where you also were influenced by country, like Johnny Cash and different people. So you had a diverse understanding of music. Do you think that's helped you with your songwriting and with expressing yourself musically, having that diverse music taste?
Absolutely. I grew up with my dad listening to Earth, Wind, and Fire and the Commodores and, you know, kind of jazzy, you know, just amazing people like that, Lionel Richie. And so that influenced me to have a respect for music that is not particularly from my time. And then listening to Britney Spears and watching her work her the spotlight when she was younger, and Christina Aguilera, NSYNC, you know, boy bands, I fell into that a lot. Kind of gave me the inspiration. And then listening to Johnny Cash and Dolly Parton, you know, Whitney Houston, Celine Dion, it gives me more of a, I would say, a culture in music. You know, when you travel, you go to different countries, you learn about their culture. When I listen to different music, I kind of learn about their style, their inflections, their intonations, things that I want to put in my own music, which essentially is one big melting pot, and it just sounds like its own unique thing. But the pieces are all broken into people who have inspired me and who have kind of driven me to want to do music. There are certain sounds I might put in my song just to kind of give it a different flavor, something you haven't heard before, but it's unique and maybe relative to where you have heard it before, but not in the same way.
Now, Ashley, I've asked this question to composers and songwriters before, and I've gotten different answers, but do you think, and you've lived around in different parts of the country, do you believe that geography has something to do with the way that you write music?
Photography?
Geography.
Geography. Geography, absolutely. Absolutely. I grew up in Orlando, Florida. When I lived in Orlando, when I lived in Oklahoma and in Texas even so, and worked in Nashville, my music was more towards the environment, you know, country. And I did not grow up on a farm. I did not grow up with animals around me. I grew up with my dogs and whatnot. So I never had that farm or even country lifestyle growing up. I always lived in a big city. So it was interesting for me to write about country music from a different perspective as far as I knew. It was my interpretation of country. So I would definitely say geography will definitely change the way you write. When I'm in Los Angeles, I write completely different than when I'm back home in Texas or I'm in Orlando or wherever I might be traveling. When I'm in Los Angeles, it's more, it was definitely more popish. It has a more popish sound. It has a more popish writing style compared to, or even when I'm in any part of California, compared to if I'm in Orlando or Dallas or Chicago, anywhere else I might write music. The geography definitely has a difference, I would say, the feeling and the environment around you.
I think that's cool because I feel that way also, like with artists, you know, go to a different part of the country to get influenced, you know, to bring out certain parts of their art. I've listened to songwriters, Ashley, that have gone to, like, let's say Portland or Seattle or somewhere like that, and then they go to a more like Los Angeles or someplace different, and their songs sound different. You know, it's just, I always thought the question that it's kind of interesting to me. Now, where you write songs that you to get other people to sing, but how hard is that to write songs for other people?
You know, it's not hard at all. I think when you write, you want to relate to other people, essentially. You want to have a message that's relatable. That's why you're writing. Or you're just writing about your feelings. And, of course, you know, we're humans. So we feel pretty much the same thing on different levels and different situations. But they're all relatable. Writing music for other artists, I would not say is difficult at all. I tend to just, I write what I feel, and I write at the moment. I did some writing in London last year, and it was a completely different sound than I had ever had written before, different sound coming out, but it was so relevant to the time here in the States. It was so relevant to their time too, even though it was a different sound I had never worked with before. And a lot of those songs have been pitched to other artists, and it's just a different sound that maybe doesn't fit right for me, but it could fit right for maybe a male lead or a male content or something that they want to hear. I would not say it's difficult to write for other artists. It just depends on if you're writing a song that another artist can relate to and they might feel the same emotion. I think emotion is a big part of music, and the emotion that someone puts behind their voice and their feeling and their actions on stage can change a song completely.
Yeah, that's a great point. I mean, that's got to feel good when you do hear somebody sing your song. What's the most rewarding part of being a musician and a songwriter in 2016?
I think the most rewarding is the impact that your song might have on you. You know, I get messages from people all over the world who've heard my song, and it's incredible to have them send their videos to me or have them ask me, quite like, how do you do your makeup like this, or how do you sing this, or how do you think of that? And it's just remarkable that my song has inspired them to ask questions and to learn. I think that's a big thing in the world that people need to respect more is learning. You never stop learning, and you shouldn't take advantage of any possibility or any chance to learn. So that's probably been the most rewarding thing. The second most rewarding thing is when I first played my music video for my oldest niece, and when she sang the words back to me, I almost cried. Actually, I think I just cried. It's so rewarding for someone so small and so young to catch something in her ear and hear it and then play it back to me, something I wrote without her in the room, completely different state, completely different mind, and she was way younger when I wrote it, and for her to kind of deliver it back to me now, it's always, that's one of the most rewarding things, is you can reach people from all audiences, all ages, and I love the reactions people give me.
That's probably the number one answer that I've gotten, actually, is that people, you know, love that reaction that they get from people when they sing their songs. When they hear people sing their songs back, it just gets to them. It's such an emotional thing. I think that when people can touch that, they know that, they feel that, and it makes a big difference when an artist does that. Let's just a little bit, and then we'll take a music break and come back and continue on. But you talked about video, and I know that you know, the video for Daria, you have a kind of behind the scenes video on that. If you could break that down for the listening audience and for people like me, I love how, you know, you have the different kinds of media. You have the audio and the visual and how those two connect, because it doesn't always work for me. Sometimes, you know, I listen to a song and I think, man, that's where it is in my head, exactly where it is. And then I see a video and it's a little different. How do you approach that when you knew you had to, you had this vision of what the song meant, and you wanted it to be created now, you know, in a visual way, but you wanted it to stay true to what you wrote it. How did you go about that?
You know, it's so funny you ask. I had a completely different vision for my music video. What ended up being the final result was not what I pictured, not costume-wise, not set-wise, not even the script. Someone actually wrote it, and they had given it me and pitched it and said, this is what I think we're going to go with. And at first I was like, well, this is not what I envisioned. It's not what I even pictured. But it ended up being the best. It was the best of both worlds, and it kind of showcased different looks of me and different tones and different attitudes. And it kind of put like a portfolio within my own song. It kind of showed a portfolio of different characters I could play. And the fact that they kept it so true to the song too, where in the beginning it starts off where you see like a really solemn moment where, you know, I'm describing like the first lyrics are, I can see you're falling apart. You know, you're emotional and you could see someone who's just not being their self or not doing well. And then it moves into a more you know, inspirational thing, and me just playing live, having a good time, showing that you just got to live free, be free, and do what you want to do. So it was wonderful for someone to take ideas that were in my head that I had never even shared out loud and kind of portray them in a music video for me to perform in front of everybody was spectacular. And I think it's so important for videos to relate to the song. I too share that experience with you where I've heard a song. I feel like I know right what they're talking about, but the video is completely different. A really great example of that is the band Hinder and their song Lips of an Angel. Just listening to the lyrics, it makes you think, you know, he's talking about a lost love that still calls him, but watching the video, it makes you believe that the girlfriend in that video is dead. It's a very weird mind trick, but very interesting to see the artist's interpretation compared to your own, and as an artist comparing to another artist, I find it very, I'm very fortunate to have my own creative imagination.
Now, was it hard to trust the producer for that? Because you said they were kind of going in a direction actually that you didn't think, you know, was in your head. It was true to just kind of like, that's your song, that's your baby, that's your creation, to trust it to somebody else?
Yes, at first I thought, well, I don't know how this is going to play out. This is not what I envisioned. But in that respect, I pray about things and I kind of go with the flow. So I do have my own elements in there there's certain things that I will say no to. Too provocative, you know, I'm all about being sexy, but if there's something that just isn't right for me, I'm not going to do it. Or if there's something that I just don't agree with, if it really stirs up my stomach, I'm not going to go with it. But if it does get to the point where I can trust it and see where it goes, I wait to see where the miracle might be. So for this one, it was at first very difficult because it's not what I envisioned, but as the music video went on and I saw the different looks and the storyboard and the mood board, I was right on board with it. It was exactly what I didn't even think about, but if I could have thought something like that, it would be what I wanted, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that makes sense. And it was filmed on the beach, is that right?
Oh, yeah, it was in Malibu Beach, and it was spectacular. The most perfect day for it.
You know, that's just got to be a cool thing, too. How was it? I don't know if you've been involved in anything like that before, but it's a lot of work to do that. I mean, you've got to get the set right. You've got to get everything right. How did the whole experience end up for you after it was over? Did you think, wow, this is like a really cool thing? And have you planned another video for any of your songs?
You know, it was a learning process. Everything I've done so far, this far, has been a learning process. This is my very first music video. I've done a lot of stage and theater work before, but I had never been in a music video. And this was one of my very first of my own. I've never been in one of my own music videos before. And, of course, you know, the day before we set, I was dancing in the mirror and creating different facial expressions and how I would portray myself on camera. I would tape myself, you know, listening to my song and, you know, singing to my song and how my face would look, how my body position would be. So that was really the preparation I had for it. As far as other videos, I have these visions in my head, and you get tired after a little while after shooting. Almost a month before the video, I had a photo shoot that was 9 hours long. I had never had a photo shoot more than 2 hours. Yeah, and this photo shoot was 9 hours long. It was a really trying day, but it taught me so many different movements and facial expressions that I ended up putting in my music video, and different structures and different ways to play with the set around me. So I find it all to be a learning process. And I learn with every new experience that I have, different ways then I can improve in the future for different things.
My guest tonight is actually Jay, and you can go on website, actually jay.net. You can hear her music on iTunes, Spotify, Amazon, any other places, Ashley, that people is your website the best place people can go, like for the central point to maybe buy your music and anything like that?
Absolutely. AshleyJ.net. You can find everything by me on there, my first two singles and Daria. It also shows you my social media, like my Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, everything that I have, Instagram, Snapchat, all of it's on there. And then iTunes, Spotify, Pandora, and Amazon. AshleyJ.net it's the mothership. It's where everything you can find, wherever you want to find it, wherever you want to buy it from, you can find it on AshleyJ.net.
Well, let's play one on one. Would you like to talk about that before we play it? One and one?
Sure.
Okay.
Sure, absolutely.
Did you wrote that?
No, I didn't. I did not write this one. This one was written by Robert Miles. It's actually an older song. Yeah, this one was a cover, and it was given to me to. It was actually in a competition for a Diane Warren song, and it was just kind of, you know, which one do you want to do? I ended up auditioning for both of them, and one and one, my voice just sounded a little bit better on. And it was an amazing song. It was something I put more into the EDM spectrum because it just had a great sound to it, and it was something that we could manipulate to sound more EDM and kind of put a faster beat behind. And it just kind of spoke words of, you know, sexy and dreamy and whimsical. So this song I did not write. I would have had the pleasure of writing on it, but I did not write. But it was beautifully constructed, and I was honored to sing it.
Let's play. This is One and One. My guest is Ashley J, and we'll be right back to continue the interview with Ashley right after this song. John Talk Radio. My special guest tonight is Ashley J, and you can go on her website, ashleyj.net. We're playing music from her career. We started off with Daria, which I believe is her latest single, and you can go on iTunes and Spotify and Amazon and pick that up, and I highly recommend it. Your music is very – I really like it a lot, Ashley. It's very positive and uplifting, and I like that in today's music. I listen to a lot of music, and sometimes I'm thinking, well, where did this come from? What place did this music come from? And I just think that – I guess it's one of the things that I'm going through personally with movies and with things like that. I think some of the things that we're seeing – and you were talking about how 2016 has been kind of a rough year for a lot of things in the United States. And I think that there's a need for positive music and positive videos and all that kind of stuff. You talked about your need listening to your music. I think it's so important for kids to get positive messages about, like you said, be yourself and don't be intimidated. And I think those kind of things are so they're necessary right now because of some of the things that are going on. I mean, my wife and I were talking to somebody yesterday about some of the terrible things that happened to some people that are very young, and when they decided at a young age to end their lives. I think this what we were talking, I know this is kind of a downer, but talking about these things where kids are just starting off and you know there are people that are thinking about suicide and things like that. And I think that music that has a positive message and that has a true message and truth in it is so important right now. So I take my hat off, Ashley. I think you're doing a great job. Just keep it up and keep, you know, like working that way. Do you think that that's an important thing that we need right now? Because I've never really felt a need for any kind of censorship in my life, but I'm thinking right now that, gosh, there's enough violence and there's enough things going on that we really need a positive vibe right now. Do you agree with that?
Absolutely. I'm not a fan of censorship either, in certain sense. Children, sure, as much as you can keep them off the internet and whatnot. But to censor someone's words, I'm not sure is – I don't know. Well, I haven't experienced that in such a way that I feel like I am validated to speak about it. But I definitely think that we need more of a positive influence and a positive vibe. There's not to forget or not to kind of tone down what's going on around us or make people kind of distracted by it, but it's there's so much sadness and heartbreak. I can honestly tell you in my entire life that I've been alive, I've never turned the news on so much every day, or at least every day, and I've never been so discouraged by the news so much in my life. And I tell the same thing to my folks and to my grandparents, and they say the same thing. Like, we've never experienced so much of worship that's going on right now around the world. It's truly heartbreaking, and I definitely think there needs to be more of a positive vibe in music especially. There's a lot of hatred, and there's a lot of very unclassy, tasteless music that's been coming out. And for me, it's just not music that I'm drawn to, but people are drawn to different things. I do fear that sometimes it might feed into other people's feelings, but in my opinion, my goal is to just create music that inspires people, relates to people, and at the end of the day, can possibly and hopefully change someone's life.
Yeah, that's great. Are there any, what new projects are you working on right now, Ashley?
I'm constantly writing, constantly, and it's something that I've always been doing, regardless if they ever get recorded or not. I have a new song that I am planning on releasing sometime next year. Its title is called Trapped. Hopefully it's the next one to be released. It is already written. It's a fantastic song, and it has such an amazing message behind it. Trapped being, you might feel trapped in a relationship or a friendship or in your job or in your family or with your kids. You know, you might just feel trapped at a certain time in your life or a point. And this song kind of, it's something everyone can relate to. Everyone has felt trapped at some point in their life. So I'm excited for that. New projects being, I'm hopefully to release an album next year. I'm just going to keep the momentum going, keep inspiring people.
Yeah, that's awesome. One of the things that I'm very curious about, when just recently, I love going to live music and concerts and things like that. What were some of the early performances, Ashley, that you saw, concerts and performances of people that influenced you in your performance and when you perform live, because I think it's so important. I didn't really start breaking it down to just recently, but I love to see a great performance. And sometimes I think you get some artists that take it for granted that they're just going to get on stage and just play because people love their music and whatever they do is going to be accepted. Tell us about how you were influenced, you know, with some of the performers that you saw, and then we'll kind of work on that. We'll talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. My very first concert I ever went to was a Nelson Brother concert. I'm not sure if you know. Do you remember Ricky Nelson by chance?
Yeah.
He was really big in like the Johnny Cash era, and he was wonderful. Well, it's his two twin sons, and
right.
They were playing at Disney World. I grew up in Orlando, Florida, so I was constantly at Disney. My parents loved them, and anyways, they were my very, very, very first live performance, very first concert I ever been to was a Nelson Brother concert, and it was amazing. The way they interacted with the crowd, and it didn't matter, you know, they were really big in the 90s, these two twin brothers, Matthew and Gunnar Nelson. They were huge in the 90s, big hair band.
Right, yeah.
And they had people in the audience from my parents' ages and older, and they're fans of their dad. It was so remarkable how these two guys not only spoke to the audience, sang them, interacted with them, but just the love and feeling that people came up to them after the show and shared with them stories of what they were doing when they first heard their song, or what they were doing when they first heard a Ricky Nelson song. I ended up meeting them, and I've met them 3 years in a row, and they haven't played the festival in a long time, but I do hope to run into them pretty soon. And I'll never forget that it was in that moment sitting there with my parents. I'd never heard them before, but their lyrics sounded so familiar, and I loved them, and I decided that's what I want to do. I want to be on stage. I want to perform. And at that time, I was probably somewhere between the ages of 8 to 10.
Wow. You know, that's such a cool story, because what do you think it is that makes a great performance? Because I'm trying to figure that out, because it's just not the music. Sometimes it is the music, but sometimes people can play the music, but they have to be into it. You've got to connect with the audience. And you felt that. That's very obvious that you felt that. And, you know, it'd be great. And I've asked performers this, you know, how do you do that? How do you connect with them? And when you're performing, Ashley, how do you prepare for that when you go on stage and when you sing live to people?
Well, I think it all starts with writing. You know, I write my own music, and I'm not opposed to singing something that someone else has written. But I think it comes down to the emotion that you put in it and the emotion that you portray. And for me, when I'm performing on stage, how I can relate to my audience is, you know, a lot of people say, well, don't look them right in the eye. You know, I might start off by not looking anyone in the eye. But as I go along and kind of see them singing back to me, it's so important to engage with them, you know, maybe pausing and telling a story. Well, I wrote this song because it was inspired by this, or it was inspired by so-and-so, or by that. Just kind of sharing, being an open book to people and being open and honest with them, I think is a great way to interact with your audience and kind of let them know that you're human too, you're just as normal as they are, and you're just as weird as they are. So that's really most of how I interact with my audience.
Oh, that's cool. And I think, you know, you made some great points there, because I think it's just that honesty. And when you see somebody on stage that it, you know, what I like is seeing somebody on stage that's excited and they really want to connect with the people. It's as exciting for them as it is for the fans, because without the fans, you know, there wouldn't be any artists. And I think sometimes that, you know, for some artists, they kind of forget that. And I think that, you know, I was just interested in getting your take on it. Now let's take it the other way. The live performance part's got to be a great time. It's got to be very exciting, very fun. But how about the studio time? Talk to the listening audience actually about that, because that's a whole different ball game. When you go into the studio, you know, there's expenses, musicians, there's all this going on. Explain how you approach the studio. And so the second part of the question would be, you got to kind of be real so that when you're doing the songs in the studio that you can perform them live, and how do you do that?
The studio, I would say, is one of my favorite parts of song constructing. It's like a chemistry lab. You know, you put all the chemicals together and it creates the ending outcome. For me, that's what the studio is for. It's my lab. If something doesn't sound right, I can redo it and I can change it, or we can alter it, or the studio hands, like the help or the engineer, might say, I like where you're going with that, but are you open to the suggestion? I think it's so crucial and so important to be open to other people's opinions and suggestions. Even though you think you're right all the time, you never know what someone else might hear. And that has helped me so much, not only in my life, but in my job and my career. It's just been listening to other people's feedback and listening to their ideas and maybe meshing them with mine, or letting them take precedence over what maybe I want at that moment, because they might hear something that can relate to somebody else. I love the studio in that sense. I love thinking of where I'll be on stage and how I'll feel on stage when I'm performing the song. So this song is typically written before I go into the studio, or I might just write it right there and then in the studio, and then putting all the instruments together is such a beautiful part of it. Hearing something that came out of complete nowhere, came out of the depths of my brain. No one else in the world has thought about this, or this exact melody, or this exact lyric, or this exact line. And the fact that you can take it and you can manipulate it and turn it into something way more magical. If anyone were to sit into a studio and how a song first starts out and is first thought about being written, and take it to the fast forward to the last day, it is a completely different sound, a completely different song. So it is such a beautiful process to not only watch but also be a part of.
What's the most pressure part of being in the studio?
I think the most pressure of being in the studio would have to be, timing. You're writing a song that you've never heard before, and you're performing a song you've never heard before. So timing and that can be an issue for a lot of performers on stage, but hopefully you know your song by then. But when you're in the studio, you're still learning the song. Maybe it could be pitch, it could be tone, it could be in the right key. It's hearing the way it's supposed to sound and taking it from my brain and putting it into someone else's idea, like putting it in their path and trying to describe how it should sound or demonstrate how I want it. That would be the most difficult, I think, for me.
About the songwriting process, how does that work with you? I mean, do you write the lyrics first or the music first? Do you write it on guitar, piano? How does the songwriting process work for you, Ashley?
You know, it really depends. I write a lot in the shower. A lot of people spend time thinking in the shower. I spend a lot of time thinking, and what I think about is what I want to write about. I spend a lot of time, like, I'll think of a melody or just something I want to say and then putting it in a melody form. It just kind of forms itself, and you go from there. I will get on my guitar, and I will kind of thumb around on it and kind of put lyrics to this kind of strum or this kind of chord. Or I'll sit on the piano and kind of duel out some keys and see where I want to go with that. Or I'll even get on my phone and get on GarageBand and kind of put something together myself and design it myself, and then go into the studio and say, this is the skeleton of what I want to work with. Let's make this better. And someone else who's more skillful behind different instruments, you know, can get behind it and say, try this, or put that there. Or I like where you're going, but can we try this? And it ends up being something fantastic. I work with an amazing person in San Francisco, and this earlier this year, and his name is Narda Michael Walden, and he, if you Google him, you'll know who he is. You might not hear him by his name, but you will know who he is and what he has done. And he has been such a mentor. I would send him something that the most little of something, and he is such a brilliant man. He would literally take what I wanted inside my head, and he would hear the same thing. So having different connections with people as well is something so spectacular. If the balance and the personality, if it's all there, if the chemistry between you and people you're working with in the studio is there, go for it. If it's not there, the song will it'll be a dud. It will not work out. You will be able to tell the tension behind the voice of the person singing it.
Ashley, how do you capture songs that like you said, you know, you could be in the shower, you could be driving in the car. When something inspires you, how do you capture that?
I sing it over and over and over again. A lot of times people will say, why do you sing the same lyric over and over again from every song? It might be on the radio. It's me just trying to hear it a bunch of different ways or a bunch of different times until it sinks into my brain. I capture it by memorizing it as much as I can, and essentially I will write it into my phone. I'll put it in the notes section of my phone, or I will just record myself really quick. I'm that really weird girl in the restaurant that is, you know, huddled over in their booth, kind of talking to their phone, but I'm really just laying something down. Or I'm like a really weird girl at a party or any at a function, and I'm like in the corner, you know, doing weird facial expressions into my phone or singing something really low in my phone, and people just think I'm like this weird corner lady. But truthfully, I'm just writing a song, and I capture it by recording it or writing it down, writing the lyrics down, or how I hear it.
Well, it's been great talking to you. I really appreciate it, and I just hope the best. I'm a fan. I love your music. If you could, we could kind of finish up with what is the thing actually that you would like to audience to know about Ashley J that maybe they don't know. What is something that you would like the listening audience to know about you?
I don't take myself too seriously. I kind of just, I've learned as I continue to grow as a person in my age that the plans that you make are going to get changed. And I am not a fan. I make plans and I want to keep them, and I am not a fan of when they do change, but I've come to learn to accept it, accepting the things around me and things that I cannot change, and kind of giving the structure of my life and my plans up to what I believe in, up to God and my personal beliefs. So that is something people might not know about me. I'm also very geeky and very nerdy. I like, you know, World War II era stuff. I love documentaries on World War II and just things about war. I like learning about that. And I really like culture. I really, really love culture. I love sports. I love a lot of things. I'm a very open book, but I'm very personal. I keep a lot of my very deep and personal things, like my family. I keep a lot of their personal things to myself and in our own inner circle. But I'm very open and always open to having a conversation or talking about my feelings. And clearly, as you can see, I love to talk.
Well, it's been great talking to you. What about social media? What do you think are the good and the bad about that right now? I mean, I follow a lot of different people that, whether they're in music or whether they're in sports, and sometimes you think, man, that wasn't a good idea to say that. What do you think about that, about social media with artists, and how do you approach that to keep, you know, you said you're an open book and things like that. How do you approach social media you want to keep it so that you're approachable, but there's certain things I think that are good to say and some things maybe not. How does Ashley approach social media?
Oh my goodness. Social media could be the best thing for your career, and it could be your absolute downfall. There are things that I know that I have written on social media, I've posted before, that I have reread now, and I maybe wrote them when I was a teenager, or I wrote them when I was X amount of years old, and I'm so embarrassed. You know, so-and-so like so-and-so. And I just felt so embarrassed about those feelings. So I forgot about that entire situation. So it can be your downfall. And people keep track of everything. People stalk no matter what they say. If they don't, they stalk. They definitely stalk and they remember things. So that is something that can be a huge downfall. And if I were giving advice to anybody with social media or an artist who wants to portray themselves, be careful what you write, because someone will definitely take it out of context. Words always get manipulated, and text is not the same as saying it to somebody. So what I might say out there might be read in a different tone than I actually implied it. So I'm very careful with what I say and how I mean them. But social media can be an amazing platform. I've talked to so many of my people who love my music and people who love following me around. I have talked to so many of them around the world. It's been a wonderful platform for me to connect to so many different people I might not get the chance to meet in real life. And hopefully I do get the chance to meet them in real life. But if it's not present at the moment, it has given me an amazing opportunity to connect to people. And not only that, but share my music and share who I'm about. Social media is probably one of the top priorities of most people's lives right now, especially my generation. Everyone is keeping up with Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat. So it's a wonderful way to connect with people you might not see on an everyday basis.
Well, Ashley, thank you so much for being on the show. I really appreciate it. I just wish nothing but the best for you.
Thank you so much for having me. It has been such a blessing talking to you, and thank you so much for having such a unique interview. I love being here. Hope to be here again soon.
Well, thank you. And I want to thank everybody for listening to John Talk Radio tonight, and I appreciate it. And everybody have a great evening, and we'll talk to you later.